Wie schaut es aus um die digitale Infrastruktur der ca. 40?
So, how does it see in the digital infrastructure of about 40,000 people in the German country? Bad. So here we looked into it a little bit more. As you can see, they see themselves as riot influencers or the black bloc of the digitalization. And there is some media publicity, and there they released and discovered some security leaks, which in 2021 would be disposed of. Lilith, applause. The speaker enters the stage. Thank you. So, today we're going to talk about what happens whenever you've been verhackt, and where that goes. We're going to talk about prisons today. Okay, first, that should be clear for everyone, prisons as a concept are really shit. Putting people away and isolating them and imprisoning them does not bring us further as a society. In case, if you believe that you could do something better, I'm talking within the frame of this system, which is shit. So, some information that should be clear for us. In prisons, you don't earn a lot of money. Everyone must work, so it's mandatory to work. And whenever you do work, you get about 50 euros cash. Part of it you may use for your daily usage, like for TV, entertainment. And at the moment, it is maximally, your daily pension would be about 185 euros. That does not sound like a lot of money. But what we don't think about is that in prison, everything is more expensive. So you must believe the production service and the process is longer. So products must be delivered to the prisons. And there must be one company that must also do the digital service within the prison. And there's how the private economics and these companies are regulated in prisons is rather simple. What we also want to talk about is, or we wanted to find out, was what is the perspective of the prisoners and the people in the prisons. And for that, we looked at texts and reports of people, testimonies of people who are in prisons. So let us start with digital communication for prisoners. And afterwards, we will talk about the administration of prisoners. And so first, it should be super clear that it's really important that people in prison should be able to communicate to people outside of a prison. This is very obvious and very important structure and need. So here are the few different options that you have to communicate outside. You do not really have any access to digital communication. As you can see, most people, about 25%, have the access to this type of a telephone, which is in the floor, it's public. You need to imagine, it's open on several levels. So whenever you telephone with someone or have a conversation, you have no privacy and everyone can listen to you. In more progressive cantons or federal regions, there are sometimes measures that ensure simple telephone communication, or they have started introducing touch screens into as a way of digital communication. And sometimes a little bit television and games, similar as those screens you get in an airport or in a hospital. And you see that 90% of this market, so it's more of a monopoly. So there's some companies that have contracts with these prisons, and you are then reduced to the digital communication service of Tilio. And in 1998, this was founded in Hamburg, here where we stand today. And their idea or pitch was that we need software controlled and service oriented telephone systems for criminal justice, for the criminal system. And that was actually a good pitch because, like, really there was not many ways to communicate within, especially in a telephone way. And often, like, prisoners were given phones that they could technically call anyone, which prisons did not want, and they wanted a control software to control who prisoners can contact. And the pitch was welcomed and greeted so well that they already in early 2000 started introducing these systems.
Sondern weil sie vorher über die Telefonzellen telefonieren konnten und über diese Call-by-Call-Nummern, die es damals gab, wo man günstiger telefonieren konnte.
So at the time there was like a simpler form of telephone system where you had about like 10 contacts where you were allowed to contact.
Aber am Ende wurde es eigentlich für alle Leute teurer.
But this was also these costs, and these services were always connected with a cost which you had to pay, and it would always got continuously more expensive. So first it was just 10 cents in euro.
Vermutlich eher so 10, 15 Cent vielleicht bezahlt. Und das wurde auch lange Zeit nicht besser.
And for a long time it didn't get better. That for a phone you would play about 40 to 50 euros a week. This is from a testimony from a letter from a prisoner from 2018. So, and if I want to buy coffee, I needed money from other people. And this, the cause of this dynamic is because there was a monopoly and one simple company was offering all of the telecommunication. And then in 2020, early 2000s, a second company came, Gerdes Communications, and they offered it a little bit cheaper. But this actually did not happen. Eventually, the constitutional court fought that, made measures against this offer. And so, it's again about the costs. So a lot of discussion about the costs gets more expensive.
This didn't work long term, and due to this court case, prices decreased over time. And nowadays, a common rate is about 5 cents per minute. So let's look at it. We started at 70 cents in 2013, and today we're around 2 cents per minute. And that's where competition and this constitutional court case led us. During the pandemic, lots of new things were possible. Hamburg gave mobile phones to all inmates. They allowed them to call 10 people, and they had either prepaid plans or flat rates, and there was almost no misuse. But prisoners, they withdrew the phones from prisoners afterwards, even though there was no misuse. And it worked, even though jails initially were afraid. Two companies merged and had a monopoly again. What these two people don't know is that around the same time I started being interested in in-cell communication. And it was pretty boring in the beginning. I looked at the websites and I saw relatives can pay money and you enter a 7-digit number, which identifies inmates with this provider, and then relatives can send them money that can be used by prisoners to make phone calls, so they don't have to use the money that they earn in prison, but they can actually receive more funds. And I thought, 7-digit IDs. If there are at least 20,000 people in this system, then one in 500 numbers must be a hit. And I scraped this thing and saw that, oh, if I call this API and enter a number that works somehow, then I can find out how much money that person currently has for making phone calls. I could also sometimes see in where these people were imprisoned. And so I wrote a scraper and let it run a bit and thought, okay, someday I'll have an interesting story that shows how people spend their money in phone calls. But and I forgot about this, and this sometimes happens to me. And one summer weekend in 2024, I was like, oh, the prison scraper is still running. Maybe somebody should do something. And I thought, yeah, prison communication still sucks. Somebody should have to do something. And I did the usual things. I looked at certificate of transparency logs. What else is running on the domains of these providers? There's a lot happening. Each prison has its own address, and there are some video visit systems that I'm going to try and join. And in these systems too, I can enter the 7-digit numbers, and when I do that, it says you've sent a contact request, and these pop up in prison, and the prison administration says yes, Lilith is allowed to phone these people or not. They did find it strange when I started calling so many people. But what was most interesting is that this thing does WebSocket requests and returns the name of the person, the internal identifier, and other things depending on the prison. And I thought, I should probably write a report. I'm going to have to dig a bit further because it has to be worthwhile. And as I mentioned, each prison has its own domain, and I was looking at where those point, and it turns out it was actually telecom addresses, so they might really, the endpoint might be in prison. So, and there was this, and I thought, okay, nice, prison management from the home office. And when you added /GraphQL to that URL, you suddenly had an API to the prison. And these APIs gave you pretty much everything that the system had about all the prisoners in the that prison, their names, a lot of metadata, where they've been imprisoned before, when they last used the system, which might imply whether or not they've been freed, the PIN that they need to identify if they're using these corridor phones, and other interesting things like where these people are imprisoned inside the prison, which might reveal drug problems, for example. And we had call logs for each individual call that told me how long have they been on the phone, whom did they call, and what was their relationship. And it would often say something like child, aunt, attorney, lawyer, but other things as well, like therapist, drug advisor. And these, of course, are highly problematic. Or if they're speaking to the customs criminal office and telling about things that they might have done or others might have done. And that was when I had to decide between responsible disclosure and shitposting. And the answer was pretty simple in this case. This was going to be a responsible disclosure because this was data about people who don't have a lot of privileges, and it was clear that I have to disclose this responsibly. And I don't need any applause for that. And what I did then is that I wrote to Eva Wolfangel and Svea Eckert from Zeit and NDR. We looked at it together. I wrote a long email to a lot of state departments. It was difficult to find out who is providing these systems. It was really hard to reach these providers. There was a lot of, I'm not responsible. And at the end of the day, it only took 2 to 3 days, and then the system was turned off, and then there was the corresponding press reports. What I found funny is how the provider explained how this vulnerability happened. It had been open for at least 2 years, so if you had that URL, you could fetch all that data from the prisons. And they said it was human error because they had continuously develop these prisons, and if these systems are only used inside the prisons, why do you need API authentication? Another interesting thing is that I found one instance of this project that was being used in Finland in a smart prison project without any of these vulnerabilities. All of these vulnerabilities had been fixed, almost as if they'd had a pen test at some point, and then they closed down everything, but they forgot that they had a lot of prisons running these systems in Germany still. And one consequence from all of this was that this came up in the Hamburg Justice Commission. They were quite unhappy with the existence of this company, Telio, and their monopoly, and they would really like to cancel their contract and switch to a new provider, but nobody applied for the most recent tender. So if they were to send out a request for tender, the only applicant would be Telio, so that's completely unhelpful. The state is unhappy that there's only one provider on a very small market, because there are about 38,000 prisoners, but they still want to keep this as a market. Another interesting thing was freedom of information request by netzpolitik.org, where they asked the justice departments, justice authorities, about documents on this issue. Here's a response from the police, who were not very happy about it, because as I showed you, these call logs sometimes showed who was communicating with police. They were unhappy about that. And interestingly, internally, somebody had this very good question: why are they recording anything at all? Regards, kind. Because remember, the USP of Telio is this. That's why there is a provider for that. And if now that we have access to the system, I think we can do some quantitative analysis. That's what I did. And what I saw is that for Hamburg, over a 30-day period, only two of them were recorded. That means we have lots, thousands and thousands of calls, and this recording feature and tracking feature was used in two cases officially, but there were four more people in the system whose calls were being recorded, but the calls were not being marked as recorded. And the feature for listening in was not being used at all. When we're looking at the request for tender from the federal state of Hamburg, then there's a long list of that, long list of requirements for recording features. Today, prisoners are paying about 5 to 13 euros a month for phones in the corridors, and if they have phones in their cells, then it's about 30 euros. And the monthly revenue by Telio is about 31,000 euros per month in Hamburg. It's not as much as back in the day, but it's still quite a bit. And I mentioned they had this new idea with the in-cell media systems, and we're going to look at the details of that now.
So the first in the from Berlin, like searching for new media systems, you can see that there are a lot of new things that the media system can also now be sold. So there's a lot of products that can be sold. So like entertainment, ebook reader, and but all in one smart touchscreen. So a multifunctional object. And this is the prices that they made out of it. So it costs about like 80 cents per minute because video telephony is very expensive. So that's more expensive, of course. There are a few websites that you may also visit for a few euros. There's some open source games for about 5 euros per month. So if we sum this together and calculate, we see that actually you are around 77 euros in month with 1 hour of video telephone. So that means in entirely the revenue is about 32,000 euro. Yeah. So as you can see, Tellu has a large interest in receiving and procuring these deals as they can generate a lot of revenue. And this is an infrastructure that stays. We will have a prison system for a long time, and so it's a very stable business and market to stay in. And as you can see, this is not a good market model. And it's also sad that the state does not see that digitalization could lead to resocialization, so, and instead uses digitalization to continue the prison system and strengthen the prison system. And I really believe the business case is really easy. If we could give access to every prison to digital communication, which was safe for the prisons and also for the inhabitants, we would profit from this. And this should not be something that's in the private market, private economic sector, but actually should be a service that we also should offer as a state. We could have a different conversation about Spotify, for example, or entertainment or profit-oriented services. Okay, so now we looked at the business case. If you are investors and have too much money, please come to us. Applause. Gaming in prison. With this system, other elements of prisons are also losing its quality. So often inhabitants have like one or two play games or PlayStations. And for example, in the requirements from Berlin, they say like you need at least 5 free games in prisons. And there should be several types of different offers, and there's like explain what the gaming consoles would look like, and for also for like the daily use. But as you can see in the official documents, and it is not a mandatory. So I mean, for the company, they can, but they must not. It is only is not a requirement. So as you can see, they tend to so it tends to be open source games that are used by this company on these gadgets. And then I thought to myself, are these games even licensed? Laughing and applause. And the answer is no, of course. And I have also contacted several game developers, and several also communicated that no, that the game was not licensed. For example, Vogt, who developed Datawing, did not even know that the game was being used in prison, and found it pretty shit that people were asking for money for a game that was supposed to be for free. And so imagine you are one from the 5 people in Germany who is sitting in prison. For a copyright violation. plus. And you may play rent games for €5 a month, which are not licensed. Top of irony. So here we come to the next topic, which is the administration of prisoners. I call it the prison stack. It is introduced in 13 federal regions in Germany. So there's this Basis Web, which is has like it's for software and not for internet. And this software offers like the basic infrastructure of a prison. And the Velis system is for tracking of person of things in like material objects of the prisoners and also materials that are given to prisoners. Yes.
Case management for social arbeitende.
And this is, yes, this, and so Podjustice is like case management for social workers. And this stack costs quite a lot in a month. And these costs are rising, like, for example, in the last month, 35%. So you must believe, like, how much internet and telephony networks you have to provide. So let's look first at Basis Web. This is one of the most successful products in Germany. It was founded in 2000 and has been used. It's used in 13 federal regions. And as you know, it is very rare that 13 federal circles can agree to use the same thing or have a mutual agreement. But Luxembourg also uses this, so it's very popular. So this is about Basis Web. We don't really know much about the interface or how it's used. But we could read a little bit about the introduction of Basis Web in a prisoner newspaper that we read. So the Basis 2000, which is the word for Basis Web, is kind of like a pattern that simplifies. For example, all of a sudden in all of these 13 federal regions, the prisoners were only given 15 vacation days per year instead of 18, without even changing any types of laws or taking legal action for this. From a data protection office, we found that there were questions about why was there not a possibility to look at who has whose data. And there are examples of how people were able to, per Basis Web, find out information about other persons rather easily. NRW, this is one is a region.
Wurde ihm gesagt, ja, das ist sehr kompliziert.
Führen. Northern Westphalia found out that it's very complicated to introduce logging, and that would take at least 5 years. It's coming in the next version of Basis Web. It's not here yet, as far as I know. It's being rolled out next year. And I also wrote to some justice authorities and the justice departments of all 13 federal states sent me the exact same wording in their rejections to my freedom of information requests. And that was that they cannot tell me anything because Luxembourg is also involved. And the federal or the Duchy of Luxembourg told me Germany should not tell me anything about the case. But there is a different case that we know a lot more about, because big, heavy guys are managed in Basis Web, but the rest are managed in VZ. And the advantage of that is that you can just simply download the updates, because and now we're going to have to switch screens, because I can show this to you live.
So
imagine that I was sitting in the Remscheid prison, and I was to log in. The standard user is great administrator, and the default password is Mundherrn. When I try logging in, I get the notice that I didn't reset the case number. I tried to figure out how to work around this, and I could not work it out. Now the software starts, and I created an example account. You can see that I have a security notice that you should not give me a computer. And this software has lots of great features. Everything's in here. You can manage money, manage books, manage people, everything. And there are some checkboxes that I think that are quite innovative. One of them is whether or not people are naturalized citizens. They apparently need that for their statistics. Or the way they solve gender is quite interesting. One is the real biological gender, and the other is the defined gender. And now that I've said both to female, it's throwing an error message that this is logically incorrect. How many religions might there be? Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, other. Another interesting thing is the special dietary requirements that there are. I have yet to find out what this mushroom thing is. There are also great statistics modules, and there's one that one default statistic on naturalized citizens. And when I run that, I get an analysis of how many people in my prison were German citizens at birth, whatever I might need that for in my prison. The same is possible for religion. It's great software, as you can see. You can just download it. The problem is that it was delivered without any of the linked libraries, so it took me 2 weeks to request historical linked libraries from companies that sometimes don't even exist anymore. But now I have everything I need to open my own prison. Can we switch back, please? Great. The software has encryption, of course. Cryptography is important. There is, for example, the decrypt function with the hard-coded decryption key 4711-0815. 4711, what do I smell like as a justice employee? And 0815, what am I like? 0815 being the German number often associated with standard or squareness. It also supports SQL injections in all the fields. So if I was in prison and had a PC with a login screen of Basis Web, I could append this string to the login field, and I could thereby delete my records. And the mugshots, as you saw, I had one as well, being managed in the jailhead file. It was called that because I think the developer thought that was cool. I didn't tell you who developed this. It was a very engaged person of the prison in Remscheid. And I think in around 1999, he won the Innovation Prize of the Federal State of North Rhine-Westphalia. Must have been 10,000 euros or marks. And I confronted the justice minister with this. And the Federal State of North Rhine-Westphalia didn't explicitly state how problematic this software is, but it is going to be replaced, and therefore there is no need to for content modifications at the moment. But it's still being used, and it's not a problem that it's not very secure, because there are organizational measures that prevent this. I suppose that the computer is in jail. The software was being used all throughout Germany at some point. I didn't ask all the federal states, but these are two that answered me. It's no longer being used in Berlin, in fact, but none of the federal states wanted to give a statement about the fact that such a problematic software was being used in prisons for decades. They've now replaced it with a light version of Basis Web, and I hope it doesn't have the same fields. Before we start to close off, I told you that there are these prison newspapers in lots of German prisons. There were more than 60 of them over the past 20 years. Most of them have never been available online. That was a print. It was a printed newspaper that was being distributed inside the jail. But sometimes, if you know the right email address, you can order it to your home. But it was never online. It was often not even entered into the National Library. And I thought that because it's such a valuable source, and because it shows how digitalization in prison happened, I thought I'd send freedom of information requests to all German prisons and ask if they wanted to give me their prison newspapers. Many of them responded and gave me the newspapers. We have more than 300 of them now today on knastarchiv.de. And over the course of the next weeks, many more will be added. You know, it's sometimes difficult to upload large files. They're going to send me USB sticks. I have no problem with that. I'm happy to send them back even. And I can recommend that you look inside these newspapers, because I know that prison series on Netflix are more exciting, but reality is sometimes more interesting. And the question, of course, also is, what do we redact and what do we not redact? Here you can see, for example, Beate Zschäpe, a famous prisoner from, was often winning prison sweepstakes. You can also read about how her ward does the gardening, but in her case, I decided not to redact her name. One thing that I learned in this last year that I've been spending with learning about this topic is that we know far too little, and we need to figure out how we can ensure that imprisoned people can communicate more and aren't being managed in this hostile kind of software. And for that, I can really only say that prisons sometimes break the law as well. So why should we? Why should we stick to the law? And the law sucks. And therefore, please hack prisons. This was a tutorial on hacking prisons, but please watch the people, please care for the people in prisons and yourself. And that was it. Thank you.